coming to you either on your streaming on-demand podcast listening service, or you might be hearing it live on Radio Life and Style, a brand spanking new podcast brought to you by Skin Renewal. Renewed Thinking, a thought leadership podcast featuring conversations with the legendary Victor Snyders, CEO of Skin Renewal, and providing a fresh-faced and forward-focused perspective on a whole host of incredible interrelated topics, from brand building and business strategy to consumer insights and market trends and technology and innovation and, of course, health, wellness, and beauty. My name's Mike Charles. I'm going to be kicking the can around in studio with Victor, who joins me right now as my special guest. Mr. Snyders, welcome to you. How are you doing today?
Great. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
And this is a space that you're quite comfortable in, having a microphone in front of you. We've had a number of radio conversations on Radio Life and Style, and we've had a lot of conversations off air, off microphone, that in my opinion have been some of the most interesting conversations. And it's that content that I think we're going to be able to dive deeper into here in this space, because this is quite a fresh concept for me in a podcast format. Renewed thinking in more ways than one. But you've had the hankering to do a thought leadership thing for a while. Am I right?
You know, we've obviously been involved in the business area in South Africa now for many years. And with our advanced age, we have the benefit of hindsight and experience and learning a lot of things that work and a lot of things that don't work. Thankfully, we've learned from our bad decisions, but likewise, I think we've also learned from the right decisions. And we've developed our own philosophy, which happens to take place in our niche. But the fact that we're in the skin business and in the wellness business is almost by the way. We're in a business. And the fundamental things that go into the creation of that business apply across virtually every business. I read voraciously, and when I read books about business, management, psychology, marketing, they are not specific to our industry. And from that, you get a great deal of learnings. And over the years, I've managed to pick up the commonalities and the things that are working and that really can drive a business and a brand forwards, and those that hamper that growth.
Well, this is brilliant then. So this thing is actually wide open. And when we look at sort of who the ideal audience would be, the ideal listener for this podcast, do you have a particular person in mind?
I think it really goes across all spectrums, because very often people differentiate between people who work in a business, i.e. employees, and owners of businesses, i.e. employers. And they see these as different. And what does very often happen is that employers do not impart to their employees what the strategic direction of the business is, what the values of the business are, and hence you get that divide. So employees can benefit from this and can start driving conversations to these sorts of points, and employers can learn from it because they need to impart that knowledge and make the employees part of that business and the direction of that business that everyone is pulling together.
Awesome stuff. And I think the value that listeners are going to find in each episode of this initial 6-episode limited series run we're doing, it might end up being renewed and carrying on in another shape and form. But every one of the episodes that we've got lined up, I think, speaks to something that anyone in business will find resonates with them. To kick the ball off, we're going to be looking at building a brand versus building a business. Those two things overlap. Sometimes there's a bit of confusion, I think, between what one is and what the other is, and sometimes they're kind of conflated. But they are distinctly different entities. Would you agree?
They can be absolutely identical, and they can be totally different. And I think that's really the cause of the confusion. And I think one of the best ways of looking at this is what needs to take place before either one of those is even coming to reality. So we're talking about the conceptual stage. Somebody who says, I think I want to do something. I think I want to create something. It may be a business, it may be a brand, it may very well be both of those. So looking at those very initial things, there are three fundamental truths that need to be established right at the beginning. I call the first one the why. I call the second one the what. And I call the third one the who.
The why, what, the who.
The why, what, and the who. So the why is very, very well explained in a book that was written by Simon Sinek around about 2010 odd, which is called
Start With Why.
Funnily enough, we went through the why exercise about 10 years before Simon wrote that book. and that's not because we're trendsetters. I think we were stumbling around in the dark. But if anyone wants to start any kind of business or brand, the question of why has to be established. If the answer to that question is to make money, they're on the wrong track.
You don't have a thing that's going to last.
There is not a higher purpose to that, because if your goal is to make money, how much? Okay, we want to make a million. And now we've made a million, now what do we want to make? We want to make 2 million. We want to make 3 million. All it becomes is a moving of the goalposts.
Yeah.
And it means that the foundation of that business is nothing other than transactional and will always be measured in rand terms.
Gotcha.
There is no passion involved in that. There's only an accountant that's counting the beans.
And would you say that having that why in your back pocket is the thing that's going to carry you through the rough patches when the money isn't coming in?
Absolutely. The why is what inspires you. So our why was to transform people's lives. That was our why.
The skin renewal why.
So we wanted to achieve something. That's what we get a kick out of. So whether it's a patient, whether it's someone who works inside the company, whether it's a supplier or someone we collaborate with, we try to have an impact that their lives will be better as a result of the interaction with us.
Okay.
We want to see people enjoying life and whatever that may mean to them. It may be confidence, it may be prosperity, it may be satisfaction. It means different things to different people, but trying to add value to people's lives so that after an interaction, they can look back and say, my life is better for having connected with you in some way, whether it's that they worked with us, whether they supplied us something, or they indulged in our services. That why is the fundamental reason why we go to work every day. Now, in order to be able to do that, we have to be profitable. Because if we don't make money, then we can't do the why. So being profitable is a necessity so that you can do the why, but it is not the why in its own entity.
In fact, as someone I was chatting to the other day echoed this in their own way, saying, we don't do this for money, but we need money to do this.
It's exactly that. And I mean, you guys think about your own business. You're in the radio business, you're in the communication, in the media space. This is something you love doing. You love sitting behind a microphone, talking to people, getting different views, disseminating information, being able to analyze it, and informing people and educating people. That's what you love doing. If your only reason for doing this was to make money, I honestly believe you would have chosen another route than running a radio station.
There are easier ways. But absolutely right. If you can find where the Venn diagram overlap is, right? You've got your circle of things that you're passionate about, but then finding where there is a niche, where there's a market need for some service to fill a gap.
Which leads us into the second element, which is the what.
Aha!
Okay, so we have marketplaces in virtually every industry that are cluttered. And it is very seldom that something entirely new that has never been done before in any way, shape, or form comes to the fore. We live in an evolutionary world where things are constantly evolving, becoming something different, being added to, and whatever. So when you're establishing the what is it that you're going to do? Because whatever it is that you're going to do is going to enter into a marketplace that already exists and is cluttered.
Given.
So we look at a very simple thing like the emergence of AI, which is something I know you and I have discussed at length.
Absolutely.
The first entrant was ChatGPT, but within a matter of 3-4 months, there are 30 to 40 artificial intelligence programs
and counting.
Segmented, different, and multiplying all the time. That has suddenly become a cluttered and crowded marketplace.
Yeah, the first mover advantage has been lost.
Absolutely. So establishing that what, and one of the other terms that get used in business parlance is the USP. What is your unique selling proposition? What is it that you are going to do that differentiates what you do from the way anyone else is doing it?
Okay.
And you need to have that USP. If you are simply going to copy paste and replicate it exactly the same, then your longevity is diminished, quite simply. Developing that USP and then sticking to it as to why the way we do it is different. Now, the USP is, people like to believe that they are unique. And to a degree, we are all unique. But there are many other people that are just like us around the world.
As much as we hate to admit it.
As much as every influencer believes that they are unique. But when you see all the influencers together, they are virtually all the same.
Yeah.
And they're all playing in that same space. So developing your idea to a point where there is something that you do which you do differently. Remember that that is built on the why. So it's a distinct part of the why. And it must tie back to the why. Because if you're doing something differently because you really believe in it, and you're not doing something differently just to make money out of it, then it becomes genuine and authentic. And that's something that has value. Authenticity has tremendous value.
Brilliant. And when you're weighing up your talents and your skill sets and your passions and trying to find that special X factor that's going to set you apart and that dovetails with what really gets your juices flowing, it doesn't necessarily need to be a single thing. It could be a combination of things, all right?
Absolutely. It could be an entire approach. What requires is research. You need to understand the industry and the space that you're moving into. So you need to look at the other people who are occupying that space, see how they do it, see what differentiates them from each other. Because if you're moving into a space that is already got people playing in it, those are your competitors. You need to understand what your competitors are doing so that you can know how you differentiate yourself from that. I use an example in our industry, and someone we work with extensively with in Los Angeles, who's a consultant in our industry. And she drives the med spa plastic surgery space, particularly in Beverly Hills.
Not a competitive space at all there in Beverly Hills.
Within a 1.5 kilometer radius, there are 240 plastic surgeons and med spas.
Wow.
There are buildings that are 8 stories high, and on each level of that building, there are 3 or 4 competitive players.
So good luck standing out in that field.
And the reality is they are all competent doctors. They all have good results. They all have a track record. We're not talking about fly-by-night. This is not go across the border to Tijuana to get cut-price butt lifts. This is Beverly Hills, where the expectation of their customer base is the movie industry and people with a lot of money.
Yeah, the rich and the famous.
So how does each of those med spas differentiate itself? Because they all do the same thing. They all do facelifts, they all do boob jobs, they all do butt lifts, they all do Botox, they all do fillers, they all do facials. What makes one different from the other? So being able to establish what you need to do, and it may just simply be the approach, but you must develop certain things that are unique to the way you do it. And if you're doing it well, you will get copied.
That's a foregone conclusion.
Because as soon as people see something that works well, they copy it.
Well, they try to. Anyway.
And then you will get other competitors now doing exactly what your USP is. So a USP is actually a moving target. You need to keep reevaluating your USP, because if you're going to be a trendsetter and you're going to be innovative, you can't be innovative for 1 year and then sit back. You're going to have to continue to be innovative.
Ah, but then there is that third spoke of the wheel, and that in itself probably has a large part to play in the USP.
Absolutely, because then you're going to the who.
Mm.
Who is going to be the customer? Who's going to be the person that is buying that service, that product? Who's your target market? Is it male? Is it female? Is it young? Is it old? Is it wealthy? Is it poor? Is it middle market? And what elements drive that purchase decision in every one of those groups, you have to understand who your customer is. Because once you know who your customer is, then you can get a grasp on what their expectations are. So if you are just selling a t-shirt and the objective of this t-shirt is nothing other than price, because I need to wear something and I need a green t-shirt, then you can go and buy a t-shirt for $10.
Absolutely. Okay.
But if you are buying a t-shirt that you want to have for 10 years and that lasts and that can be washed,
or that you want to say something about you because it has a particular label or logo on it,
then that same t-shirt may cost $100. And that t-shirt business is targeting a very different purchaser. Mm-hmm. So you have to know who your who is, so that you know what your what is, which aligns with your why.
This is brilliant. And these, all of these aspects we're going to be diving into in more detail and more focus with specific episodes coming up. I mean, we're definitely going to be diving into the whole knowing your customer's story in some great detail. But at this stage, while we're just kind of flying over the top and getting a bird's eye view of the whole thing, understanding how these moving parts all link up and mesh together gives us the essential Lego pieces to start understanding how to build this thing. But are we building a brand, or are we building a business? Are we building both?
It could be both. Businesses are essentially financially driven. They are about the results. Very often businesses, their why is profit.
Simple.
A business need not necessarily stand for anything. It may not have a set of values. It may not have any objectives other than a bottom line.
And there are many businesses that operate entirely out of the public-facing space and are running in the background, very profitable, yeah, very happy, doing their thing.
And that's fine. And if somebody just wants to do that kind of business, then by all means, let them go ahead. We don't believe that that adds real value to the diaspora, our environment, our communities, our countries, or to the planet.
So let me ask you about your baby, your business and your brand in Skin Renewal, and relating it to these three key ingredients that we've been talking about. At the very beginning of the thing, did you do the exercise of the research and the mapping out, or did it sort of happen by trial and error, more organically over a period of time, that you came to understand what this thing is?
Very much the second. So despite the fact that myself and my partner, Dr. Maureen, both had exposure to business and industries and things for 25 years before we started Skin Renewal, we started absolutely fresh in this. And we planned for the best and hoped for the best and made a lot of mistakes and discovered a lot of things as we went along. Thankfully, a couple of those fundamentals, the why and the what and the who, were things that have always underpinned our business decisions. Because as we go through the series and we discuss many other things, you will see the why, the what, and the who always return.
I was just going to say,
businesses continuously need to evolve.
That's it. And if you hadn't had those three already in place at the start of this thing, even though you were kind of feeling your way through, you wouldn't be where you are today. It wouldn't have lasted.
Yeah. The most important of the three is the why.
And you had that from the beginning, even though you didn't necessarily map it out on paper and put a whole plan together.
We actually wrote that one down.
Okay, you did.
The exercise we went through, and we decided to make it a little more difficult to establish our why. So there was a famous line, and I think it might have been Winston Churchill, who said, "I'm sorry I've written you such a long letter. I didn't have time to write a short one."
Yes. Was your initial draft like that?
It was like the early days of Twitter, which were really interesting, because you had 140 characters to get your message across. And I remember there were contests of people writing a book, telling a story that could not be more than 140 characters. And the more succinct it is, the more exact it is, the more real it is. But that requires a lot of work. Because if you give me half an hour to give you the why, it's very easy to fill half an hour with that space. But to reduce it down to three or four words becomes a lot more difficult, because you cannot waste a single syllable then.
It really forces you to drill down, to think hard about the essence of the thing.
And then it is the absolute essence. And that has been, more than anything, our anchor. Our what fluctuated. And there are times we lost direction of our what, and we also lost direction of our who. But our why always brought us back to get those on track.
And if someone had to ask you today, if you had to sit next to someone on an airplane and they're asking you, who are you, what do you do, and what is your why, how would you define it nowadays?
We transform lives.
Simple.
That's it.
We transform, three words. That's yeah. It. And it's beautiful because nothing about that necessarily tells you anything about the nature of your business, but it's absolutely true that thread carries through everything that your business is about.
Well, each of the words is there for a reason. The first word is we. It's not I.
Huh.
It requires a group of people who are all aligned together, and it's always about the we. It's always about the entire collective of the people that we work with and the people that supply our business. We see that as a unit, and it's by getting those pieces to work together that we become a we, and it's not an I. There's not a single one of our therapists or doctors who talks about my patient. We always talk about our patient because we depend on each other to give the result. So it creates that dependency. Transform is self-explanatory. We change things. We look at it at a deeper level than just the superficial. Although our business is the skin and someone's appearance, there is a fundamental backstory to that because it's how people feel about themselves. It's their confidence levels. It's how other people react to them. As human beings, we judge ourselves by how other people react towards us.
Yes.
If they like us, they appreciate us, we feel good about ourselves. If they dislike us and criticize us, we become self-critical and introspective. So the outward appearance, is that right that we judge people by outward appearance? That's another debate altogether. But that is the reality. If you read Malcolm Gladwell's book, Blink, or many other books, we form an opinion on most people that we come into contact with within the first 15 seconds that we meet them. And we decide whether we like them or not, or whether we could work with them. And we develop impressions, and we are judgmental in our nature. It's in our DNA. We may rationalize that later and say, outward appearance is not everything, we got to get to know. But anyone who's been on a first date, especially a blind date, at that first moment that they see their blind date for the first time, they will either be thinking, wow, or there will be a degree of disappointment.
and there is a segue into a whole nother brand and business. I mean, you look at something like Tinder and how that totally upended the whole space of dating and blind dating and first impressions.
Absolutely.
A discussion for another time, of course. But I really am looking forward to delving into a special episode looking at the we and constructing a company culture and how that is reflected in the customer experience. So there's so much meat for us to chew on here. But where we're at right now, looking at the words in your why. So we've got the we, we've got the
transform. And that's creating the change. But the change is not just to the face or the outward appearance, it's to their lives. And by putting the word lives in there, it is affecting the transformation to their entire lives. That means their relationships, it means their work, it means all sorts of things. When we say we transform lives, we've looked at we facilitate transformation in lives. We don't actually change anyone's life. They always change their own life.
Okay.
Okay. But what we do is we put them in a position where they are able to change their lives. They can look at themselves differently. They can feel differently about themselves in order to move on with their lives. We don't make the change. We simply facilitate the change.
Well, keeping it to we transform lives sounds a lot more elegant than we facilitate the transformation of lives, but I get you.
The we transform lives is actually a false claim because they have to transform their own lives. We don't have the power to do that.
But we'll allow that one.
Yeah. But that has always been our anchor. And are we really doing something that facilitates that transformation? Are we adding to that process? Or is this something which is just being done to generate revenue, and it doesn't tie back to the fundamental reason of the why.
Now, I hope you're taking notes if you're listening to this and catching the middle of our first episode of Renewed Thinking, a thought leadership podcast and radio feature from Skin Renewal. I'm Mike Charles, in conversation with Victor Snyders, CEO of Skin Renewal, and providing you fresh-faced, forward-focused perspectives on the world of business and brand building in this first episode. Victor, while you have been building your own business and brand over the years, have there been any other entities that you've looked at for inspiration or that you've benchmarked yourself against?
Absolutely. If the future of our business was predicated on Maureen and my ability to generate new ideas, we would have been very, very limited. Some of our ideas, quite frankly, have not been too good. And so getting that inspiration from elsewhere is important. And it's not just from our own industry. It's looking across all industries. When we started, we were relatively insular because we started with one location in one geographical area. So we tried to understand that specific geographical area within a South African context because we were operating as a South African business. As time has gone, we now have 20 clinics. And what we've discovered is that we have 20 very different businesses who have the why is always the same. But the what and the who has adjusted slightly depending on the area because the customer bases, the demographics of different areas, the dynamics that exist in different areas are different. There's a great example that was done by Robbie Brosen of Nando's. They had their what sorted out in South Africa and they decided to expand in the UK. And they did a great deal of research. And when they established Nando's in the UK, the what was different.
Really?
Yes, because it suddenly Nando's became a sit-down restaurant, which it wasn't in South Africa. It was fundamentally a takeaway business.
Yeah.
You had one or two stools that people could eat while they were there, but generally it was a takeaway business. In the UK, Nando's is a sit-down business that also does takeaways, which meant a very different footprint and a very different model, and it has been a roaring success.
And it's influenced now the South African approach subsequently.
Which has evolved over the years. And now they've differentiated themselves from the takeaways by having an expanded sit-down experience as well. But had they gone into the UK as a pure-play takeaway business, they would not have been as successful as they were. So their what changed, possibly even maybe not so much the what as the how, but because their what was flame-grilled chicken piri-piri. Yeah. But how they did it was fundamentally different. So what we do is we read, we look across industries, but our inspiration initially came from what we were exposed to within the South African market, what was available, and we measured ourselves against other players within the South African market. Over the last 2 to 3 years, we've actually been looking far broader. And while we are a South African business, and we will stay a South African business, and unless something very dramatic were to happen, we would not expand across our borders. But we now compare ourselves on the international level. So we've gone and spent time looking at equivalent operations and how they run and what they do in the US, in Australia, in Europe, London, South America, and looking at the best ways of doing things. And there is so much information out there and so many different ways of doing things that we've created our own eclectic pot of bringing all of these things and trying to tie them together within a South African context to make them locally relevant.
That's fabulous. And I think, you know, having that strategy of looking at what the best in the world is, you know, real international best practice, bringing it back home, adding local flavor, but not watering it down for a local market or a local audience. If you really want to be punching at the top of your game, you need to be delivering an excellent world-class level service or product.
It's something that drives us. If we ever reach a point where we say we've got this figured out, that is definitive of the fact that we do not have it figured out because then we've stopped thinking and we've stopped innovating, we've stopped evolving. We live in a changing world. The economic world, the political world that we started in over 20 years ago has not remained the same. The world has changed dramatically, and we have had to evolve with it. So you cannot just simply sit still and expect tomorrow to be the same as yesterday. Tomorrow will be different.
Ain't that the truth? We've had a really turbulent last few years globally and locally on the South African business landscape front. And no doubt there are going to be big waves to sail over in the years to come. But there is, I think, such importance and value in having these discussions, giving business leaders a tool set and say, this is tried and tested stuff. This is knowledge that's been hard won. And here it is, because if we can build a business environment that is vibrant, that is resilient, if we can do it collectively, like a rising tide, it raises all ships.
Absolutely. The better every business that exists does, the better for our economies within our own industry. The better our competitors are doing, the better the industry functions, and we are a player in that industry. So we will grow as a result of that, because the industry itself grows.
I think this is really fascinating stuff. And I've got this picture in my mind now of a business. Someone starts a business with maybe not the most amount of research and homework, but they've got their why, they've got their passion, they've got the who in mind, they've got an idea of how to connect those things with a what, and they've got this ball rolling. And over time, a brand takes shape, maybe consciously or kind of organically. But once you've got the business and a sense of brand identity, that brand identity as a kind of umbrella, like the Nando's example, like the Skin Renewal example you've explained, that can hold together while the business mechanics make a pivot, or if the actual nuts and bolts of how you're earning your money has to radically change, doesn't necessarily mean that the brand has to disappear. In fact, that might be the thing that keeps your audience with you while you figure out a whole new way to operate. And certainly COVID was the masterclass in brands having to pivot and figure out a new way to do business. And the lessons are still very much with us today.
Yeah, I know that later on in the series, we'll be discussing the effect of COVID and the lockdowns and everything on business. And as a taster for that, I can tell you that COVID is probably the best thing that ever happened to our business. And it was because there were some things that really, we just happened. Maybe it was luck, maybe it was skill, maybe it was our why. But we managed to get right, and the business has evolved as a result of what happened in COVID and become far more resilient. In retrospect, we can look back and say that while it was happening, it wasn't too pleasant.
Absolutely not. But that's a great movie right there, where you have that real moment of crisis and all seems lost. And then out of the jaws of defeat, somehow a glimmer of hope and victory. And I love those stories. And I'm really excited to delve deeper in over the next 6 episodes. Renewed Thinking. And you're catching it either on your streaming on-demand podcast listening service, or you might be hearing it live on Radio Life and Style. It's brought to you by Skin Renewal. Well, there you go. That's where the renewed thinking comes from. And featuring conversations with Victor Snyders, CEO of Skin Renewal, a man who has an informed perspective on brand building, business strategy, consumer insights, market trends, technology and innovation, health, wellness and beauty. The list goes on, and we've just started the journey. Victor, I can't wait for our next sit down. Anything you'd like to leave our listener with while they digest the information of this first episode?
I don't think there's ever a single thing that one can leave people with, because we are different every single day and we react differently to different impulses. But don't ever think that whatever you are thinking about is right or is the only way. There is always another way. There's always a way of improving it and evolving it. Don't ever get stuck. Don't be scared to make mistakes. Mistakes are wonderful exercises because they provide learning. Success provides very little learning. It's the mistakes. The key is keep your mistakes short and small and make your successes long and big.
I'll definitely be meditating on that this weekend. And thanks for giving us the pearls of wisdom. I'm really excited for the episodes to come. What do you say?
Great. Looking forward to them.
You heard it. Renewed Thinking. Stay tuned for the next episode.